Chapter 43.
Entering Necroshire. You have discovered a hidden location. You may now travel to Necroshire using an active transport gazebo. World map is back online. Necroshire added to map.
I emerged standing within the town's transport gazebo, and I stepped out into the bustling activity of the town, gaping at the electric, neon buildings and crackling atmosphere. It was not nighttime out in the main world, but the sky here showed nothing but pitch black. It was like I'd stepped directly out of the game and into some cyberpunk vision of a futuristic downtown Las Vegas. Flashing lights, electric vehicles, pink and blue flashing neon. It was overwhelming. The pounding bass of distant heavy metal reverberated throughout the city, adding to the sense of chaos. I probably should have waited a few minutes before I came here. My entire body was soaking wet.
Oh!
I smelled like the garbage bin at an adult video store. Finger-sized kaiju sperm fell off of me and hit the tiled ground, thrashing about like fish out of water. They bounced about for a few moments before dying. I did not receive any soul power when they died. The gazebo itself appeared to be offline. The round platform snaked with neon tubing. When the thing was powered up, it would be lit like any casino sign. My map only showed the town, surrounded by a sizzling, static-filled haze. Sure enough, it showed the transport gazebo being offline. That meant I wouldn't be able to leave until I fixed it. The city wasn't very large, smaller even than Kinnegad, but it appeared to have multiple levels. Dozens of shops populated my map. Thousands of people lived here, shuffling by shoulder to shoulder. The vast majority of them were the octopus-headed leechers. Dozens of the humanoid robot Sundered also strolled about, as did multiple humans and shade gremlins. I caught sight of a pair of mole men and a smattering of other races, including the snake-bodied midwives and the lizard-headed caduceus, and a pair of lichens, the first ones I'd seen other than Jank. I even saw a solitary worm surgeon pass by, walking with purpose. While I'd seen a handful of the leechers before, this was my first chance to really examine them. They stood about my height and preferred robes, giving them a wizard-like appearance. Their beady eyes seemed to look right through you. Their tentacles cascaded off their faces like beards. Most had 5 facial tentacles, but not all. Some had 6, some 4. Not all leechers wore the standard robes. I didn't see any mechs, but a few leechers here and there walked about in glowing power armor. Out of curiosity, I examined my upcycle options with the leechers. Sure enough, I had the ability to replace the lower half of my face with the appendages, though there was only a 10% chance of success. If I did succeed, I could add a litany of psionic-themed spells ranging from mind control to instant insanity. Each leecher was different, but most of their limbs were much weaker than my own. Almost every body part came with a strength debuff. I moved my vision toward the Sundered. The expressionless humanoids moved by with humming servos and glowing joints. Not one of them had anything I could upcycle. Strangely, the opposite wasn't true for them. Multiple Sundered had mismatched organic body parts of their own. A human leg here, causing the android to limp, a nerve agent arm there. One had replaced his entire lower half with a midwife snake body. Another, surprisingly, had the ant-like head of a zipper. I switched off my wicked meat. Despite the town's relatively small size, cars and motorcycles zipped about on the ground and above in the air. These were the first working vehicles I had seen. I followed the path of a flying car as it sped across the coal-black sky. It turned at a floating neon buoy, and then it disappeared into a tunnel I hadn't noticed before. The tunnel appeared to be made from the same material as my cloak. A black darker than pure night. A nothingness. I wondered where it led to. I found the mystical upcycle emporium on my map. It wasn't too far. I had to find a sewer grate, go down 2 levels, and then walk 2 blocks over. It was a small shop in an alleyway between a ramen shop and a place called Superior Sigils. I took note of several shops I wanted to visit after I was done there. A fountain bubbled merrily next to the gazebo. I unabashedly used it to clean my hands and head, trying to wash the sex stink off of me. After I felt as presentable as possible, I headed out. The lower I traveled into the city, the louder the music became. A nightclub of some sort took up the majority of this second sublevel. The ground here shook. I found the shop, advertised with a small neon sign. I pushed open the unassuming door and entered the dusty, red lobby of the Necroshire Upcycle Emporium. The door jingled with a bell.
Entering Necroshire Mystical Upcycle Emporium.
A group of the surgery imps scattered like rats when I entered. They fled down a tight set of stairs that delved into a brightly lit room. A familiar shriek of laughter and then a clatter emanated from the room. I knew it was down there. This would be my first time coming to this place through the front door.
Ah, hello, hello, a return customer. Yes, yes, welcome, Duke. You are most welcome.
The words tingled oddly against the back of my neck, almost like the speaker was saying them out loud and in my mind at the same time. An alienist came from around the corner and grasped my hand, shaking it. The bug-headed humanoid only stood up to chest level. He had three fingers on each hand. I knew these guys were technology and wind-based, and their associated guardian was a giant, fire-breathing beetle. But that was pretty much it.
Sure. Flesh merchant, level 44.
It is good to finally meet you face to face. My boys have told me much about you.
When he spoke, nothing on his face moved. It was like I was speaking with someone wearing a mask. He poked me in the breastplate.
How is the new liver? It isn't giving you trouble, is it?
He lifted his finger and touched it with one of his antennae. No, it's working great. I pulled Bernadette's brain from my inventory. I have this. It's from... Shu snatched the brain from my hands, bringing it close to his face. Both of his antennae crawled over it.
Bernadette! Oh no, Bernadette! She has left instructions.
She was my aunt.
She has left instructions!
His antennae continued to probe the brain.
Yes, yes, many instructions burned in here. I gave her the upgrades myself years ago. You can flash the transport gazebos. Turn them all back on. So many villages have been cut off. Who saw you come here? Who else knows?
Sorry, Bernadette.
You can flash the transport gazebos. Not just transport gazebos. Anything infected with the demon virus.
Yeah. That's the plan.
They will never let you. The Sundered. If you fix the gazebos, refugees will come. They will come to Necroshire. And they will come to little Cibola.
So?
When the demons came, Epsilon ousted all non-Sundered from their city. At first, they just pushed them off the edge, but we fought back. So they opened the tunnel to here, to Necroshire. If you're not Sundered, you can't enter little Cibola. Or that space. But it is only for them. They can come here, but we can't go there.
Who is Epsilon?
But if you open the portals, the refugees will come. They can control outgoing access, but they can't stop incoming. They will not like that. Refugees will find their way to little Cibola. Too many for Epsilon to control. The Singularity will not allow that, no, sir.
That's a bit douchey of them.
Yes, yes. If they know you have this ability, you will be disappeared. Your only hope is to get the surgery, get to the Necroshire transport gazebo and repair it. Once it is repaired and all the citizens see, there will be nothing they can do, nothing. They will stop hunting you then. They are a logical race.
A new quest chimed in my vision. A compulsory quest. And here we go.